everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Exclusives. Hi, good morning. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a great show for you today. Larry Samuelson is here with me this morning to give us our insider's peek into the C-Suite. Larry is a very seasoned and accomplished executive, has sold for 35 years, worked for Napa Genuine Auto Parts, and held various COO and CEO roles for various divisions throughout the U.S. and Canada. Larry retired a couple of years ago and started a practice working with other executives and C-level leaders to help them grow their companies. He's got a lot of great insight to share, and he's here with us this morning. Tell us all about his career at Napa and a lot of the experience that has helped him to really counsel others to reach their business goals. So, Larry, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
So after a 35-year career with Napa Genuine Auto Parts Company North America, which is, as people know, in the aftermarket automotive industry, you're now a trusted advisor to other C-level executives, CEOs, and presidents of companies. Tell us how your experience prepared you for what you're doing now.
When I work with Napa, which, as you said, was 35 years, a lot of what I did was work, you know, directly with, you know, our owner customers and help them make decisions, grow their business, and do, you know, various things that, you know, decisions that they're trying to reach. When I left Genuine Parts and retired, initially I wasn't quite sure, you know, which direction I was going to go. I was going to work with my daughter, who was going to open a business in the mountains of Colorado. And in the interim, a lot of people called me and said, gee, can you come out and spend some time with me? And that basically grew into this trusted advisory practice. And a trusted advisor is kind of an interesting title that no one really knows what it means. What it is not is, you know, an HR role, a certified coach, a consultant, or anybody that has a purely functional expertise. But what it is someone who works with business owners and executives, listens to them, builds trust, and helps them wrestle with decisions they're trying to make for their business. And that's really what a trusted advisor does.
So when you're running a company, there are so many things that you need to be aware of, be in the loop on, and be thinking about and making kind of interlocking decisions based upon. What helps you to kind of synthesize all of this information? I'm sure that's a skill you had to kind of learn as you were moving up in the ranks and continue to fine-tune to be able to have that top-level perspective that's going to make decisions that are going to impact the entire enterprise and really move it in the right direction.
When a person is running, you know, a large business or a large division, a large company, everybody starts out in their career managing something. And when you have to make the leap from being a manager to a leader, you realize that it calls for an entirely different skill set. And probably the most important of which is not getting too deep into the detail, because when you do that, you're really taking the responsibility from somebody else who ought to have it. And you also don't get the chance to overview the business as you should. So I think what it is learning how much detail to, you know, immerse yourself in, when to cede that to somebody else, and enabling you to really spend the time looking overall, you know, the business itself and the industry the business is in.
Now, you obviously have very deep expertise in the automotive aftermarket industry. Is this what you primarily focus on in terms of advising, or do you work with people in other industries? Because you mentioned that people from that market kind of started to reach out to you immediately upon your freedom, right?
Initially, most of the clients I had were automotive related, and over a period of the last couple of years, that's kind of morphed into automotive, all kinds of distribution, multi-location retail, manufacturing. I've got a client that owns 200 restaurants. I have a client who has a restaurant in New York City, single operation in New York City. And what I found, and I think I always knew this, is that all businesses are at their essence the same. you have to create revenue, have to control expense, you have to have good people, the people have to understand the mission, and you have to execute. And that's true in almost all businesses that I'm aware of. The only businesses that I stay away from because it's a little too deep for me is anything that's very IT related, or anything that would be medical or, you know, pharmaceutical related. But any other kind of business, you know, I've talked to people about them, and my clients today are a pretty wide group.
Now, you also mentioned that being an advisor to executives, it can be, there are a lot of people going after this market, I guess. You know, there's consultants, there's coaches, and sort of that there's a difference here between the role of a trusted advisor. Talk to me specifically about the kind of benefits that an entrepreneur or an executive can receive by having a trusted advisor.
Most businesses, and when I say most small or mid-sized businesses, let's kind of take a range of, $5 million to $250 million in revenue a year, which would be kind of a mid-market business. Most do not have formal sitting boards. So when the owner, founder, president is wrestling with the decision or trying to decide how he's going to execute or implement something, he really has no one to walk through that discussion and decide how he's going to do that, because it's not really ready to be announced to his team or his employees. And that's one of the things that I do with the business. I do a lot of listening. I give him honest feedback, including some things that they may not necessarily want to hear, but things that are going to help them make the kind of decisions that will be the best for their business and help them take their business to wherever they want it to go.
So the founders of companies, these kind of entrepreneurial trailblazers, if you will, oftentimes, they've gotten to where they are because they're really good at one thing or a handful of things. But there's a lot of blind spots, too. And as you go more into leadership, you need more of that holistic, well-rounded perspective and make sure that you're not missing any of the blind spots. What I want to know from your point of view is, what are some of the common traits that you have observed in leaders of these kinds of companies who have achieved a lot of success? What are they really good at? And what is it important that they continue to focus on while surrounding themselves with other people that can help them in the areas where maybe they're not as strong?
Most people that own businesses become very single-mindedly focused on, you know, where they think they want the business to go. And because they get so deeply involved in it, sometimes they don't get a chance to overview the industry or the business climate or help them make the kind of decisions that they need to make. So that's the role that I help them to confront, where, you know, I need to be able to understand their industry, their competitors, who their customers are, what their differentiation is. And so I really need to understand almost as much about the business as they do. But the advantage I have is, because I'm not financially involved with it, I can be much more objective. The other thing that's common of all entrepreneurs that I know of, is that where their business life ends and their personal life begins is very murky. In other words, one runs into the other. And so when people talk about having a good life balance, entrepreneurs, you know, in their minds, they have a good life balance. But it's, to an outsider, it would not seem that way, because the business life and the personal life are intertwined. And,
right.
And to them, that's fine.
Now, as an engagement and a relationship with a client develops, what are some of the keys to making that successful? When a client retains you as a trusted advisor, what makes that relationship really thrive?
Probably the most important thing, Elizabeth, is trust. When I spend a day with a client, which is how I will begin the engagement, I come in and I spend a day at my expense. I don't charge them for travel. I don't charge them for my time. To understand the business, understand them, and really, over a period of 8 or 10 hours, decide if we can work together. If there's a connection, then we've got a chance of working together. And if I've observed 4 or 5 or 6 things that, you know, the entrepreneur is trying to accomplish, perhaps we can work together. But the most important thing is, do we trust each other? And the second thing is the entrepreneur willing to make significant organization and personal change if, in fact, he's trying to take his business to a different place? And if he's not willing to do that, then at the end of the day, I'll say, you know, you got a great business, but I really don't think I can help you. Let's stay in touch, and perhaps in the future, we can work together then.
So in order to achieve change, you have to be willing to change yourself. Great point there, Larry. I think that's something, that some people don't necessarily realize when they're desiring a very different state of things. They also have to change their own behavior. Give me an example of a typical client engagement, if you will. You know, what kind of results do you look at achieving with clients? How long does the engagement last? Walk me through what that's like.
One of the differences between a trusted advisor and a consultant is basically working on a project basis. He finishes his engagement, he delivers whatever, you know, the deliverables were to the client, and then he walks away. A trusted advisor, it's an open-ended relationship and agreement with a client. And when I'm with a client, I work with, you know, a very small amount on a monthly basis, because I spend one complete day with each client each month and, you know, a half a day to get ready and a half a day to kind of summarize the points after the fact. And we talk about everything. You know, we'll start 7 o'clock in the morning, we'll go till 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and we'll talk about his business, his, you know, his family enters into it, where he wants to go in 20 years, what he's trying to accomplish. And very quickly, if we haven't developed a tremendous amount of trust, you know, between one another, then the relationship's not going to succeed and it's not going to continue. But most of the clients that I have today, I've had for, you know, 3 or 4 years, which is the length of time that I've been retired from Genuine Parts. And there's really no end date, because as long as the client is trying to move the business someplace, or maybe he's decided he wants to sell and he needs help thinking through that or preparing his business for sale, all the client engagements are open-ended, and there may be a point that we reach where we say, you know, we have really taken this now to the point that we both agreed was what we had decided when we began. Let's step away for about 6 months and come back together again and begin once, you know, once anew. So, but most of the client engagements are open-ended.
Now, in the current economic state that we're looking at, a good entrepreneur sees both challenges and opportunities. I like to focus on the opportunity side. What are some of the ways that having a trusted advisor come in and help you facilitate change can allow companies to take advantage of some of the circumstances in today's economy?
You know, the economy, you know, over a period of time, sometimes your economy is good and sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's in the center. Where the economy is today, and that's a whole different subject by itself. But when I work with a client, what I try to point out to him, because I can be objective about his business where he can't nearly so much, is point out where I think he's doing a very good job, point out where I think his business maybe has some opportunities, and point out what his differentiation is, at least in the minds of the competition and the market, in that, you know, that he can capitalize on and leverage and use that to help him build his business.
Larry, when we talk about knowing what goes on really in the C-suite, what are some of the strategic activities that leaders need to practice on like a weekly, even a daily basis to keep them at the top of their game and so that they're doing the right things to run the company?
Understanding, you know, what the business is doing well, understanding what the opportunities are to change or to improve, and being very cognizant of what the competition is doing, so that if the competition makes a move, the decision has to be made. Do we react to it? Do we ignore it? Are we in good shape? I mean, are we already, you know, doing that in a very good job? And of all the CEOs that president CEOs that I've met in all kinds of different businesses, the ones that are really good are the ones that can be very open-minded to new ideas, and the ones that are very cognizant and aware of what's going on in their particular market. I mean, everybody has a general idea of what's going on with the economy in general, but it's important to understand what's going on in your industry. What is everybody else doing? What are you doing? Can you clearly state what your differentiation is in the mind of your customer? And if you can't, then perhaps it's time that you ought to look at that with your team and decide what is it that you're going to implement in order to accomplish that.
So because things change so quickly these days, do you find that companies need to check in on those types of questions more frequently because the market can change, consumer tastes can change, legislation can change, things can happen so quickly nowadays that having a five-year strategic plan, you can't just wait 5 years and revisit right. it. How quickly do people need to react to changes, and how often do they need to be kind of revisiting their market and making sure their offering is still on point with where the market is and where it's going?
You know, I think all businesses, you know, have some kind of, you know, formal or informal strategic plan. A 3 to 5 year window is a good, you know, starting point. You can't really do a strategic plan for any longer than that, realistically. But you can't do it, set it aside, and decide, okay, things are fine, now I can go back to doing business the way it did before. You have to, almost on a monthly basis, look at it with your team. You know, are we accomplishing the goals that we had set out to when we set the, you know, the original plan? Is there something we can do better? Is there something we can change? You know, years ago when I started in the automotive business, you know, the economy was much different. You know, I mean, for probably half my career, it was really, you know, an American economy. And, you know, that changed 10 or 15 years ago to where it's now a global economy. And you can't just, you know, be cognizant or be aware of what your North American competitors are doing. You have to look at what are people from other parts of the world that may be trying to come in and take business from you. What are they doing? And what does that mean to you?
Absolutely. Well, Larry, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and learning so much in our conversation today. I've got to ask, after a high-profile 35-year career with NAPA Genuine Auto Parts in North America, does the automotive aftermarket industry still seek you out?
It does, and I still spend a lot of time, you know, with the automotive aftermarket. The automotive aftermarket is one of the largest industries in North America. Total sales at user price are about $280 billion, so it's a large industry. But it's like a very large small family, or a small large family, depending upon how you describe it. And when I go to meetings or events, I'll see people and talk to people that I've known for years that maybe I haven't seen in 15 years, but we pick up a conversation almost right where we left it off. So I still spend a lot of time with the automotive aftermarket. It's still my first love. It's a great industry, great people, serving a need that everybody has, which is keeping their car or truck, either business or personal, running and operating efficiently. So I'm still involved with it.
So, Larry, where can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more or take you up on a consultation?
Probably the easiest way is my email address, which is larry@thesamuelsoncompany.com. I can also be reached on my telephone, which is 678-642-3756, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody who has an interest.
Thanks so much. Everyone, this is Elizabeth Gordon signing off. You've been listening to C-Suite Exclusives. We'll get back to you soon.